From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of September 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor will be here to take up the cash grain market. In agricultural news, Senator Conrad says Mr. Obama's plan to cut farm spending cuts too deep. The senator would like the Agriculture Committee to rework the farm bill for 2012 to include some form of countercyclical payments, acre and sure, no mention of direct payments. Speaking of government programs, Argentina is considering a new way to handle its corn and wheat exports, and analysts in Beijing are expecting China will quadruple corn imports in the coming year. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Oh, and at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished sharply lower. The nearby December soft red winter wheat down 33 cents at $6.33¾. The March contract at $6.67¼, down 34½. And May futures there down 35¼ at $6.87½. July at $6.92¾. The harvest month of next year in the wheat pit down 35 cents. December corn futures $6.50, down 35¾. March at $6.63, 35¾ lower. May futures at $6.70¾ in the corn pit, 35½ lower. The July at $6.74¼, down 35¼. And next year's December at $5.89½, down 30¾ of a cent. November beans at $12.83, down 37½. January at $12.94¼, 37¼ lower. March soybeans $13.02¼, down 36¼. The May at $13.08, down 35¼. July at $13.16, down 35¼. And next year's November at $12.79½ a bushel in the bean pit, down 32½. Bean meal down $9. Bean oil down $1.36 on the afternoon. Live cattle futures October at $116.25, down the $3 limit. December at $115.87½, down $2.97½. September feeders at $132 and a nickel, down $1.90, and lean hogs at $88.35, down 92½¢. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $5.65 lower at $80.27. Ethanol at $2.55¢, down 9¾¢. Natural gas at $3.71¢, a penny and 9¢ lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.84½, down 8¹¢. And the gold futures at $1,739.20 an ounce, down $66.30 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now under 11,000 at 10,695 at 428 points lower. The dollar at 78.42, up 1.1. And the CRB index on the afternoon at 307.25, down 14.18 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies, a high near 68 degrees. West winds at about 9 miles an hour tonight, mostly cloudy. A low of 44. Friday, partly sunny, a high of 65. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 46. Saturday, a 30% chance of showers, partly sunny, a high of 63. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 45 in the Urbana-Champaign area. On Sunday, for the start of the week, partly sunny with a high of 67. Sunday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 49. And the work week begins with a chance of showers as well, partly sunny then in the afternoon with a high near 68 degrees. Monday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 50. Tuesday, partly sunny, the high near 70. Tuesday night, cloudy and 52. Wednesday, mostly sunny and a high of 74. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt. Just in case you're wondering, we're still operating at something closer to full power, about 1,000 watts. It appears now that we will drop tomorrow to about 150 to 250 or 300 watts, so you may not hear us at that point.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, is on the phone line with us. Hi, Dan. How are you today?
Doing fine, Todd.
It's a busy day. The last couple of days have been interesting. The Federal Reserve trying to hold down the long-term interest rates and making a statement about the health of the economy that blew back up into not only their faces, but around the globe, I suppose. What do you think?
Well, basically, the traders around the world are worried about a world recession, and we are experiencing that flight to quality situation like we experienced back in 08, sharply higher dollar, sharply higher bond market. So people are taking their cash out of equities, taking their cash out of commodities, and running for safety. And that is the key force here. The dollar, basically, you can pretty well correlate the dollar strength from its low of about August 29th when we were at the Farm Progress Show. And basically, that's when commodities put in their high around September 1st. And the dollar strength pretty well correlates with the decline that we've seen in commodities, especially our ags here over the past 3 weeks. Chart action, I think a lot of chart people are probably looking for a move on up to the 80-something level in the short run. A lot of your fund traders that kind of watch these moving averages were getting a golden cross buy signal in the daily dollar index. So my guess is that you're going to see a lot of more strength here in the dollar. A lot of speculative interest going to come in and buy this dollar based upon some of the positive technicals. And anytime you have strength in a dollar like this, that is basically has deflation written all over it. I mean, it is signaling that we are in a recession, or we soon will be in a recession, and I think that's what all of the market forces are basically telling us here today, Todd.
Can you talk to me more about what a golden cross is technically? What does it look like, and what does it mean?
Well, a golden cross is a lot of these are the trend following systems that basically is a 50-day moving above 100-day. That is called a golden cross. Now, when the 50-day moves down underneath the 100, that's called a death cross. So we're probably going to get some death crosses in the commodities, but at least on the dollar for the time being here, we're getting a golden cross here. That is just, you know, technical jargon and hype and that kind of stuff that newsletter people will pump out. It gets people's attention. But that is what we're seeing here, at least on the daily dollar index.
Talk to me about the daily trade for the December contract. There was a small gap lower in that contract today.
Yeah, it was, and it's hard to get gap lowers when we have almost, you know, when we have the overnight session, but we do occasionally get them. Today or last night was one of those. Now, whether or not that's considered a measuring gap or not, I don't know, but that would you could probably say that the midpoint of that's going to be somewhere around 84.5, or let's say 80. See, what today's high was 82, yesterday's low was 85, so let's say 84. And then if you would want to do that off of 780, for example, you know, there could be maybe 96 cents down in it from the 685, which would basically say that, you know, sharp people will begin to start talking about a decline down into that, you know, $6 area anyway.
Right. So that'd be a pretty sharp decrease given the fundamental supply side of the marketplace. Do you think that demand would roll off that far?
Well, Demand is still awfully weak. You can see that by today's weekly export sales. Everybody's just kind of keeping their powder dry in here. I think they're worried about the world economics. I know that the domestic Southeast rail market has been really weak. A lot of the chicken people have been cutting back on numbers. Exporters just doesn't seem to have any interest. U.S. is the last place they want to come to. They can find other priced feed grains cheaper elsewhere. And then the other thing that you have to worry about is that the yield reports that the trade are talking about being a little better than expectations, the market's looking ahead at that already and basically saying that supplies are increasing, the carryouts are increasing. So, you know, that adds the additional bearishness to a market that's already in a window here that, you know, 9 out of 10 years has seasonal weakness in it. The last couple weeks of September into the first week of October, those are seasonally down weeks. And then when you get the strong dollar and the market's talking about recession throughout the world, and then a weak demand picture, it just, you know, explains why corn market closed 35 cents lower. I don't think we quite hit the limit. We are on 40 cent limits now. I guess that was a good sign that at least we didn't hit limits. But so everybody was able to get out that wanted out, or anybody that wanted to get short was able to get short today.
Is this a point where I know the marketplace is being driven on the outside markets by fear. Is it a point where you tell farmers not to get too fearful yet, or do they need to be more wary?
Well, I think I'm sure it's got everybody's attention.
yeah, you bet that.
And I guess that's the first thing you need to do is get everybody's attention. My guess, and I can only guess, looking at the technicals and the oversold condition of the market and then looking at some timing indicators, that we're probably nearing in on an exhaustion of this current decline that we've had off of the September 1 high. Now, a lot of times the market goes opposite the dominant trend during the last week of the month, and we've been clearly down for the first 3 weeks of September. So my guess is that we're nearing in on a short-term low. Next week, we're going to see some short covering, profit taking, that we'll have to kind of keep an eye on the price action. But that might begin to signal that the market is ripe for some kind of recovery rally. Maybe the news begins to turn a little more favorable next week or something like that. And I think farmers will have to follow a recovery rally up and kind of take one day at a time and kind of evaluate their current risk level. And if they need to part with some inventory to manage that risk, I think they would be kind of watchful for something like that to materialize here over the next couple weeks.
Soybeans, please.
Soybeans, we're kind of back down to where we started from, in a sense. We're back down to the bottom end of that sideways trading range that we've been in basically since last spring. We closed tonight at 83 on the November contract. Our early August low was 1282. And then, of course, the late June low was 1286. So we're back again right at the bottom of this range. My guess is we're going to have a little support in here. It won't be surprising to maybe see the market try to go down underneath some of these lows to see if there's any stops there. But, again, looking at the timing indicators that I look at, looking at some of these momentum indicators, we should begin to find some kind of short-term low here and then try to have some kind of recovery rally, maybe back to the midpoint of the broader range that we're in, which is somewhere around this 1350 area, give or take a nickel or so.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois, and joins us here on the closing market report that happens each and every Tuesday afternoon, and or actually each and every Thursday afternoon. We thank Dan for taking the time for being with us on this day. Listening to the Closing Market Report, of course, it is a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from our home station, WILL AM 580. And we've been working, of course, with the folks in the construction crew out at our Twin Towers on the South Farms. They'll be re-guying or retrenching the guy wires on our towers, we think, starting tomorrow. But that's a bit iffy from day to day. I think all the numbers are in place, and we'll probably power down tomorrow. You can always hear us at willag.org on one of our affiliate stations or at m.willag.org. That's for the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Now here's Dave Dickey. He's got today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Senator Kent Conrad, chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, says the president's plan to cut agriculture goes too deep. Conrad is preparing a proposal he hopes will be taken up by the Senate Agriculture Committee in the coming weeks. Conrad wants the Senate Agriculture Committee to support a plan to combine the counter-cyclical program, the average crop revenue election program known as ACRE, and the disaster aid programs into a new farm bill. Conrad also advocates renewing the disaster aid programs and making them retroactive to October 1st, the date after the current programs expire. Argentina's grains industry is debating a plan to overhaul local corn and wheat markets so exporters pay farmers a higher price. The state intervenes in corn and wheat trade now with incremental export quotas and subsidies to local millers. Farmers in Argentina, a leading global wheat exporter and the number two corn supplier, have long sought to change the system. They say it hurts their profits by allowing buyers a certain amount of grain to be purchased, thwarting competition. The proposal would keep a cap on total exports to ensure sufficient domestic supply, but it would eliminate the gradual quota system. Under the new system, officials would announce the amount of corn and wheat to be set aside for domestic consumption from each harvest, and farmers could sell the rest freely on the local market. The National Confectioners Association says that high U.S. sugar prices are threatening jobs throughout the country's candy industry. In a letter to USDA, the organization also calls on the government to address concerns that many U.S. firms are paying almost twice as much for sugar as companies abroad. NCA President Larry Graham says that domestic sugar, priced at 62 cents per pound, is nearly twice the price of sugar available to the rest of the world. The sugar users would like the administration to increase the amount of lower-priced sugar that is allowed into the country, but current law prevents any increase until next April unless there is an emergency. The law does not define emergency, leaving that designation up to the USDA secretary. Analysts in Beijing say that China is likely to at least quadruple corn imports in the next crop year to fatten its animal feed sector and squeeze food inflation, but how much grain it buys will depend on the amount of wheat it uses for rations from its large reserves. With corn reserves estimated at less than 1 month's consumption, traders estimate that China's wheat reserves at the end of the 2011 crop year are 64 million tons. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line to check the cash grain market with us, Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Producers, I suppose, in your area may be in the field, and they're a bit wary of the marketplace after the last 2 days, I would think.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Most guys are trying to transition from picking corn to cutting beans, but, you know, this weather isn't exactly conducive to cutting beans unless they're just dead ripe. So we've got a little bit of everything going on right now.
Your assessment of the last 2 days of trade?
Well, you know, earlier in the week, whenever we came in a couple times on the overnight and was trying to rally a little bit, it was sure nice to see. But we just haven't been able to fall through with that during the daytime. And, you know, on the overnight, whenever we hear markets basically around the world are having a really tough time, there's just not a lot of, optimism in the way that our Fed is handling things. I guess people don't feel strongly that it's going to turn things around. So, you know, whenever our world economic situation is as it is, it's pretty tough to find buyers at times. I think guys are taking their money off the table and going to wait and see what happens.
Now, that may be the point, that they're taking their money off the table and waiting to see what happens. We still have what we'll call a short supply of corn until we get the next USDA report, and it may or may not show something different. And the economics around the world are that investors are taking their money off the table. When do you think they'll put it back on or not?
Well, I think, you know, it's important to note it's certainly a bullish environment still for the corn market. I mean, especially, you know, you look at the fact that we are going to need good acreage again this next year. I mean, exports weren't very good this week. Last week they were pretty darn good. You got to hope that our average remains, you know, at the high end of expectations every week. And I think that'll be the case even with these prices coming scaling back just a little bit. But you know, I think it's going to take a little bit more stability around the world before we get guys jumping in whole hog again. But I think as far as the corn market goes, there ought to be a fair amount of interest in owning it at some of these cheaper levels. About every time we've broke, you know, we've seen some commercials step in and buy it.
At these levels, the export market has sloughed off a bit, but it doesn't appear that the livestock market's going to cut back all that much more, and that ethanol is still making pretty good margins at this point, and a lower crude price may very well give them a better opportunity.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, and today, with all being said, you know, guys ask me, why is the corn market down 30 to 35 cents? And most of the time, whenever you see crude down $5 and $6, depending on when you look, it's pretty tough to think that the corn market's going to be rallying. It's just hasn't been the case the last few years. You know, usually when crude's getting hammered, corn's getting hammered. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how we move forward from this. You know, a lot of it's going to depend on, you know, different news stories coming out in different parts of the world. Is Greece going to go ahead and have or are they going to bow out of this thing? You know, I mean, are they going to be able to make it? It's pretty tough to say. So, I don't know. A lot of it's going to be, you know, based completely on whether guys feel safe investing their money somewhere.
Are you of a mind that producers should be selling across the scale at this point?
You know, we've had most producers have sold across the scale up until the last two or three days, I would say a really high percentage compared to normal. Now, the last two or three days, I think more guys are saying, I kind of want to wait and see. I might go ahead and store some in here. It's still a heck of a price, Todd, and most of the guys that are dealing in our particular elevator are fairly happy with their yields compared to their expectations. Their expectations weren't very good at all, so, you know, a little bit better than what their expectations were. So if that's the case, you know, $6.50 corn is still awfully good price for corn.
Matt, thanks so much.
Yep, thanks, Don.
Matt Bennett is with TGM in Windsor, Illinois, and joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
It's National White Chocolate Day. White chocolate was first introduced in Switzerland a few years after World War I. Production began in 1930 by the Nestle Company. A year later, the M&M Candy Company introduced the U.S. to white chocolate, manufacturing it in New Hampshire. By the way, since 2004, U.S. white chocolate must contain by weight at least 20% cocoa butter. It's also St. Maurice's Day, patron of knife grinders. On this day in agricultural history in 1777, John Bartram died, an American botanist. He is considered by many the father of American botany. Bartram established a botanical garden in Philadelphia in 1728, the oldest living botanical garden in the U.S., where many giant trees may still be seen that he planted. In 1877, Victor Shelford was born, an American zoologist and ecologist. He was one of the first to treat ecology as a separate science. And in 1985, the first Farm Aid concert was held at Memorial Stadium in Champaign, Illinois. Willie Nelson, Neil Young, and John Mellencamp organized the first concert to raise awareness about the loss of family farms and to raise funds to keep family farms on their land. The show was put together in 6 weeks and was held before a crowd of 80,000 people and a live television audience. It raised over $9 million for America's family farmers. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Usually we talk with Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist. Pete not in the office again this afternoon. We'll have to check in with him to see exactly what's up there. But we do have a weather forecast for you. It comes from the National Weather Service. It says for this afternoon in the immediate area around Urbana-Champaign, we'll see mostly cloudy skies with a high of just 68 degrees, mostly cloudy this evening. A low of 44, and tomorrow, partly sunny skies, a high near 65, north-northwest winds tomorrow at 5 to 8 miles an hour. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low down to 46, north-northwest winds again at about 5 miles an hour. It'll be calming through the evening, and then Saturday, a 30% chance of showers, partly sunny, a high of 63 degrees, calm winds becoming north-northwest at about 5, and Saturday night, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 45 degrees. Partly sunny on Sunday with a high of 67. And Sunday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 49. On Monday, a chance of showers, partly sunny, a high near 68 degrees. Monday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 50. Tuesday, sunny, a high of 70. And Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 52. And by the time we get to Wednesday next week, should be mostly sunny with a high near 74 degrees. If you want to hear our programming anytime you'd like, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, including our Commodity Week program. This week, our guest, Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading, out of West Lafayette, Indiana. Jim will take a bigger picture look at what the Fed has done this week in trying to hold down long-term interest rates and how the Fed statements have managed to push the marketplace lower in Chicago and around the planet. Jim Bauer, our guest on Commodity Week this week. You can hear him at willag.org after about 6 o'clock Friday evening. We always record at 4:30 in the afternoon. If you'd like to pick it up off your smartphone, it'll be there too at M. That's M for mobile, .willag.org. And one other way you can listen to us on your phones, just dial this number, 217-244-9455. That's actually 217-333-3434. 217-244-9455 is the way you can pledge your financial support to us, but 217-333-3434 is the way you can listen to our programming at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day. We update those with either the opening or the closing numbers and a bit of analysis. It's all part of the service that you get from willag.org, located right here in Urbana-Champaign at the University of Illinois, providing agricultural service, market and weather to Illinois, Indiana, the Midwest, and around the planet. You have a great afternoon. If you're in the field, be safe. And don't forget that tomorrow we should power down finally and get to work on the guy wires on our towers. We're down to about 100 to 250, 300 watts for roughly 2 weeks. Should get us between full county and within three counties around us. Other than that, you'll be able to pick us up on the websites. Normally, of course, we cover something in the neighborhood of 138 counties here at our home station. Have a great afternoon. That's the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.